My name is Jeff Cross. I'm the media director for Clean Facts. I'm here with cousin Ed Cross, or is it brother Ed?
Cousin, brother, everything.
No, we're not really related, but you know, we share the same last name. Ed, you are an attorney who works closely with the RAA, and we're at the RAA show right now.
Yes.
As people can see in the background, registration is very slow because everyone's already here.
Right.
You've looked out at, thousands of people from the stage.
Right.
It's going well.
It is. What a great event. And Christy Cohen and Claire McNabb have done a magnificent job of making this such a huge success. I'm so proud to be part of it.
I am, too, as a media sponsor. And, Ed, besides talking about how great the show is, let's talk about the content of the show.
Yeah.
I know you did a boot camp.
I did.
And I was in there for part of it. You know, I'm out taking pictures and talking to people. Otherwise, I confess I wasn't there the whole time.
That's all right.
But it was good. I was
there for
the first couple hours.
Thank you.
Fantastic. You said something in that boot camp I want to quote you on.
Okay.
You ready? You're a lawyer. You don't care.
Yeah, right. We'll see.
So you said something like, and I'm going to paraphrase, there are a lot of challenges, problems with documentation in the restoration industry. What are some of those challenges that your boot camp addressed that you're proud of?
Yeah. So when we get a file in when we're trying to collect money for a restoration contractor, we want to make sure that the file tells the story of what happened on a project. And the file needs to be complete enough so that a third party who has no familiarity with the background of the project, has no access to interview the eyewitnesses, can just look at the file and recreate the key events that happened on that project. And I call it the five W's, the who, what, where, when, and why. What did you do? Who did it? Where did they do it? When did they do it? And why did they do it? Because often, big shocker, adjusters will say, you didn't need to do that. That was unnecessary. Let's lay out the evidence as to why it's necessary and take a lot of photos.
All right. One of the slides, Ed, said something about, I think it was a question, have we ceded too much power to the insurance industry? Now, that means we gave it up. We gave something up. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So with the progression of standardized pricing platforms and the other organizational efforts by the insurance industry, the restoration industry has slowly given up a lot of authority. Name one other sector of the construction industry where the prices are set by a third party. And that's in essence what happens on so many of these projects. We see email after email from adjusters saying, we're only going to pay Xactimate prices. Well, in many cases, the Xactimate prices don't represent accurately what a restorer's true costs are to perform a job. And we were so happy to have on the stage this morning at the RIA Town Hall, the president of Verisk Property Estimating Solutions, the company that publishes Xactimate, to explain that Xactimate prices are not intended to be used globally, that they should be customized where the circumstances warrant that, and where adjusters, and for that matter, anybody else, should not be prohibiting restorers from modifying the prices where there's some factor that warrants it, the market conditions, the demand, the needs of the customer, or any other factor would warrant the use of a different price.
Okay, very good. I've been in this industry a while, so have you, and we've seen complaints and comments about pricing software, as you mentioned, in a negative connotation. Are you seeing an emerging solution? Are you seeing the light at the end of the tunnel? Not the train coming, but a solution.
Yeah, absolutely. We believe that a paradigm shift is underway. More and more contractors are customizing their pricing because they find when they go and they look at material prices sometimes in Xactimate and they compare that to what their local Home Depot or their supplier is charging, some of those material prices are way too low. Those need to be adjusted. On the labor side, we have the same thing going on. Xactimate presumes that a certain labor wage is being paid. We have dozens of clients. We've examined this for them, and we have found out in virtually every situation, the labor wage that they're paying to their people is higher than the wage that's presumed in Xactimate. Therefore, the pricing needs to be customized in the way that was described this morning by Aaron Brunko, who's the president of the Xactware organization.
Yeah, I've heard him speak a few times. It seems refreshing what he has to say. Maybe you don't see it that way, or do you? You see what he says is...
So it was incredibly refreshing that on 2 days' notice, that I was able to persuade him to change his plans for today and get onto a plane to fly to Dallas and come meet with us. And we're very grateful to him for making the apology that he made publicly for the issue that happened last week with the Exactware user license agreement. And he explained to us what happened. And I believe that he's going to be paying closer attention to these things going forward. You know, the RIA Pricing Task Force, Independent Pricing Task Force, and I have bi-monthly meetings with the Exactware people, as well as with the CoreLogic people. And we bring to them the concerns that restorers are having about these pricing platforms. And we have lively discussion. We have robust discussion with them about some of these points, and they're making some changes, and we outlined some of those changes on the board this morning.
Okay, now you mentioned an issue that happened recently. Can you explain that briefly, what that was?
Yeah, sure. So the leveling factor that we had in the Xactimate user license agreement was a provision that explained that it's the responsibility of an Xactimate user to ensure that the prices they're using in their estimate reflect the actual market values, and that in some instances the market value may be higher or may be lower than the Xactimate price, that they do not guarantee the accuracy of their pricing, and that no one should prohibit someone else from deviating from the prices that are on the Xactimate price list. Well, last Friday I went online and I was going to research a line that was in there, and all that stuff was gone. It had been deleted. And I made some phone calls to the RIA leadership. We got the AGA Pricing Task Force involved. And the next day, on Saturday evening, I had a telephone conversation with Aaron Brunko, the president of that organization, explained to him the problem. We had robust discussion over this point. And Aaron agreed to have that language restored, put back into the contract, because he hadn't realized how important it was to restorers to be able to point to that, because it explains the intent of Xactimate. I said, we need you to come to the International Restoration Convention in Dallas, explain what happened to the members, explain what you've done about it, and we can talk a little bit about the collaboration and the ongoing dialogue that we have with Verisk.
Nicely done. Ed, you're known as the restoration lawyer. Did you pick that name?
Pete Consigli's responsible for that. The same guy who named my partner, Angela Bayrumai, the collections czarina.
Pete Consigli, that's another story. We'll talk about
it. Yeah, right.
So you're the restoration lawyer, whoever gave you the name or not, and that's what you are. Everyone recognizes that. They see you at trade shows. They see you presenting, having events. You do restoration cross-check as your program you're offering the industry. Some might wonder, what does that do in litigation in the courtroom? What are some common issues you deal with as an attorney?
So one of the big common issues is we have adjusters who are chopping down invoices and marking things off and refusing to pay for things without having their own supporting documentation for it. They'll make allegations that, hey, the ISCRC standards don't require this, or they'll point to something. We say, give us your supporting documentation. A lot of restorers don't recognize this concept of supporting documentation is a two-way street. As a matter of fact, according to the claims handling regulations, there is a duty of transparency on the part of the insurance company. They have a higher duty of transparency than restoration contractors do. So when they come to you and they say, hey, we're not going to pay for this item, or that's the cost of doing business, say, okay, show me where it says that in the policy. Show me where it says that in the law. What documentation do you have in support of that? And in many instances, they'll back down.
Last question. If you were king of restoration, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do?
I would make sure that every restoration contractor customizes their prices to match and address their actual costs for labor and what they're really paying for materials, and help the adjusters of the world understand that restorers are supposed to customize their prices, and that Xactimate was not intended to be the Ten Commandments.
Vote for Ed. All right, Ed.
Thanks
for your time.